Hi!
Hello. I'm Danny.
And I'm James. And welcome to
Let's Talk!
Or sing, apparently.
We're
this
very
week.
Operatic today.
Operatic. Well, do you know what? I love that you say that because we like a dramatic flair, and especially when that dramatic flair arrives on screen. Do you see what I did there? Because,
of course,
we are talking about Screen today.
Very nice.
I mean, what a broad term. I like it when our categories are this broad because we can literally go anywhere, can't we?
Yeah. And we do.
Oh my God, of course we do. I mean, we've spoken about so many important parts of the industry and life over these last few weeks.
And veered off on so many tangents.
So many tangents. I mean, I feel like Screen's so big, we could literally talk about anything. So can we call anything a tangent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of course it's TV and film.
That felt like a Danny's Dictionary moment.
It did.
If they keep coming out, we're going to have to invent a theme tune for them. Danny's Dictionary. Love it. Yeah, you are right, though. It does encompass TV. It does encompass film. And there's so much in between. But what's... have you experienced much acting on camera?
Not really. So...
not as much as we'd like. We'd like a blockbuster. We'd all like a Netflix or a Marvel film.
Yeah. I mean, going back to something we were talking about a few weeks ago about drama school, we didn't really do a lot of screen acting.
Really?
And we had some classes in our second year, and then we were supposed to do a project with some MA dramatic writers, and then that kind of didn't happen. So we ended up just filming our showcase scenes, which was fine. But of course, your showcase is for theatre. So you're rehearsing it for theatre, then filming it on screen. So it just didn't quite... it's basically the footage was just completely not usable.
But then,
since leaving, I've done a couple of jobs. Three jobs, actually. Three screen jobs, which have been really nice. And a bit of a baptism of fire, to be honest.
Honestly, it's the one thing I will say that was perfect about my training. We did camera from the word go, and we were prepared. We actually... we were taught for my first 2 years. I was taught by Peter Hunt, who's now the casting director at Hollyoaks.
Oh, yeah.
And Peter's...
oh, sorry, did you just drop something?
What?
James is like, what? Did I actually drop something?
Did I... What?
Just a little cheeky name drop in there. Peter Hunt.
I was going to say, we were going back to the Janny episode, you losing it for 20 minutes. I thought I'd lost you then. Yeah, cheeky name drop. So Peter was just invaluable to the way we trained. He brought so much like warmth and knowledge to what we were actually learning about, and just really good techniques. And then obviously he was sassy as high hell. One of the funniest moments was the look into heaven and hell acting. He can't stand it when you kind of go and then look up, or, oh, I'm really sad, so I'm going to look down. And then he was like, why are you doing it? Where are you looking? Who are you looking at? And that was one of the lessons that stuck out. But I was really lucky to have that from the get-go. So I do think it's and like you were saying, it's a totally different ball game to theatre acting, isn't it?
Yeah,
I get the baptism of fire thing, because on my first TV job, I think I would have been absolutely cacking my pants if like I hadn't had the training I'd had, because you do, it's so quick, isn't it? Anything on screen, and specifically TV.
Yeah.
I won't say everything, because I think movies are quite well known for sitting in trailers and taking forever to set up one shot, aren't they?
Yeah.
But TV's similar. You have to set up shots and sit around and wait. But
It's literally hurry up and wait. That is all it is.
Hurry up and wait. So true.
That's literally it, because you are... I mean, the last screen job I did which was just before Christmas, it was like getting all ready, you know, get the car to take you to the venue, you know, like it was all very, very, it was very high budget, like really amazing job. But then you're ready, and we were filming in a hotel, so I was lucky enough to have my own hotel room to just chill.
Oh, bougie.
And then I'm sat there and I'm going, I'm sure we were filming this morning, but it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the whole day goes by, and then they go, right, okay, we're ready for you at like 3 p.m. or whatever. We go down, and it was a conference scene, but the scene was supposed to be at 9 a.m., as in the program.
Wow.
It's supposed to be people arriving at a conference, like a 3-day conference or something, and they're checking in. So they're obviously there early in the morning. We set it all up. We rehearsed it. I got to chat to the director, to the actor, which was lovely. I was like, oh, this is so bougie.
A dream.
Oh, great. And then they go, oh, it's really sorry. The lights faded too much, so it doesn't look like the morning anymore. We're going to have to call you back tomorrow.
Paid for an extra day, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it screens so pedantic sometimes like that. Like, if you don't catch the right light, if the continuity's always funny. Like,
oh,
I love
God.
Continuity errors. Have you seen the ones in The Lord of the Rings, like, where Gandalf's got a watch on? There's one in Troy where you can see a plane flying over.
Brilliant.
I love that. Yeah, just a good... like continuity error. I'd love it. The Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
That was a recent one.
Yeah. I remember I was watching the other day, I was watching this film. What was it called? Something about a phone booth with Colin Farrell. And he's trapped in a phone booth. And some guy's like got a sniper and is like trying to get him to admit the truth about his life. I'm going to have to look it up.
Sounds like my kind of film.
I can't remember the name of it. But there was a bit in that, and I literally, my boyfriend is like, what are you on about? Because I'll be watching something with him. And I'll go, oh, continuity. And he'll be like, what? And has completely missed it. But I noticed there was a bit, there was a shot of Colin Farrell and his like intern. And he lit a cigarette and took a drag, but he didn't light it. Like, you could see he hadn't
lit
it.
It wasn't lit.
And then the next shot, it like cuts. And then the next shot, it's lit. Fully, and it's smoking. And I was like,
I love that. You didn't light that cigarette.
You didn't light that. Mm-mm.
I love stuff like that. I love the like reverse shots of people. So where you've got like two people talking to each other. And then you've got like the back of the head or the shoulder of the person that they're speaking to.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can see that it's, they're speaking when they're not speaking.
Yeah.
So, like, they're moving. Like, yeah. And you just see the shoulders going up and down, like, they're talking. And you can see the shots being repurposed. Or a really great one is Friends. So, I learnt this. That obviously, you know Friends, the massively popular TV show that's currently on Netflix. At various points, I don't know why, but they used stand-ins. So I don't know whether it's because people hadn't arrived to set at certain points or they were off filming other sections. But for whatever reason, they used stand-ins for some characters in some shots. And there's one where they forgot to cut Rachel out, or Rachel's stand-in out. I think it's Rachel, or is it Monica? One of the girls, anyway, they completely forgot to cut out the stand-in. So there's a shot in the actual show that you can watch now on Netflix, on the DVDs, where it's clearly not Monica or Rachel or whoever it is. And oh, I can't remember what episode it is, but I'm pretty sure if you put it into YouTube,
yeah,
like it'll come up. The stand-in's gone wrong. But I love stuff like that. And I suppose the equivalent for stage would be when, like, a stage manager walks on stage before the blackout. Something like that. Or a piece of set doesn't quite make it to its mark.
Yeah. Or, like, you've gone out of a spotlight and then walk into another light by accident.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. But then it's sort of... I love when... And, like, in theatre, for... the play that goes wrong and stuff like that, where you utilize those like failings, and
yeah.
I love shows that make light of that, like where it all goes absolutely tits up, and you like you almost break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Like that free guy, the Ryan Reynolds film with
Jodie Comer.
Jodie Comer and taking the mic, but it was like lovingly a loving homage to NPCs in video games, and I thought that was really, really fun and quirky. Like talking about invisible walls and stuff like that. I love when things get a bit meta.
So, what is different to you about screen acting
compared to stage?
Yeah.
Well, it's the nuance, isn't it? I suppose the everything's a little smaller, but still needs to have the same weight and impact and be as big emotionally, essentially. But I think it's so many people do different things that work for them. Like Nicolas Cage, you say we want nuanced performances on screen, yet you've got Nick Cage banking out Wicker Man performances every now and again.
Yeah. I would say. You have more artistic license in the theatre than you do on screen, because a lot of the time when you go into a casting for screen, you're either that person or you're not. Like,
yeah.
For example, recently, well, earlier this year, they've been casting for The Crown. Hmm. And they've been putting out a breakdown that's basically saying, if you look like a young Kate Middleton, send us an email.
Yeah.
No acting experience required. And a lot of these breakdowns that go out don't need acting experience
because they're so specific.
Fine, but because they want the person to walk in the door and just be that character.
Yeah.
So then they don't have to act, they can just
be
directed and, you know, be like a moving prop almost. And I think there's weirdly a lot of freedom in that, because even though it sounds more restrictive, but whenever I've done screen, it's felt more like a job, but in a nice way. Like, you go up, you do the scene, you get told where to stand, you have to hit your mark here, you have to drink that cup of water on that line, and then you go home. Like, it's very just, I don't know, it feels quite freeing to be like, oh, almost don't have to worry about the pressure of being really good, because you know there's
and
so much like
every night and regurgitating the same performance,
relive the traumas and stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, for screen, you've got a cry stick, you've got this, you've got that. It's much more like, you know, there's systems in place to help you do your best. And then you just go home.
Yeah, go home.
Done.
I agree with that. Totally. Madness, isn't it? I think it's such a different world. And like, going back to your comment about being baptised in fire, stepping onto a set for your first time, I think it is, and I think it's such a different world. Especially if you're used to theatre, used to whatever it is, radio, audio, public speaking, comedy, drag, whatever your performance method is, to then step onto a screen. Like that's actually a really good example, the drag. When you take something like RuPaul and the success that RuPaul's had with Drag Race, the show at the beginning, where it used to be very glossed over, there was like a Vaseline coated lens filter, and it softened all the harder edges. But now the show's literally progressed on screen. It's made drag progress as well, because you need to have that understanding of makeup to know how to prepare for coming on TV with makeup on. It's really different, and all the departments that work together to make actors and performers look good on shows, whatever it is, if it's the X Factor or Great British Bake Off. I love when you see people getting touched up in the sense of makeup, not anything else. No, I'd like to go on record and say nobody gets touched up while going on the Great British Bake Off, to my knowledge anyway,
unless they're lucky.
Unless oh gosh, Noel Fielding. I don't know, something in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, go on then, no. Why not? But yeah, I love seeing people having the makeup touched up on the Great British Bake Off. I'm like, why? But it's all an art, it's all lighting, like you were saying. So it really is a group of skilled people coming together. And on that note, I think it's time to move on to our favourite section of the show. It is Let's Talk Videos. Go on, you can go first this week. I bloody love The Witcher.
Then it gets all, you know,
spooky. I'm trying to think which scene this is.
Yeah. It's the Strieger. There he is.
Oh my god, terrifying.
Yeah, awful.
Oh my gosh.
Such a great program. Oh. I only watched both series this year.
Really? Mm. Oh, I love it. So I'm a massive fan of the games.
Are you?
Yeah. I just think Henry Cavill's so bloody good.
I was going to say, apparently he is really good at being that character from the game.
Oh my gosh, so good.
That little trapped him. Yeah. I just think the special effects in this clip.
For a TV show.
The location, the art direction, everything about it is just. This is the power of screen, isn't it?
It honestly is. The lighting.
Art comes to life.
Literally, you're talking about, like, just mood and the timing of the scene. Like, I know there's. For this scene, there's a huge build-up of what kind of monster. And one of the best things about Witcher and the Witcher games is you'll start a quest and sometimes you won't actually know what you're hunting. Maybe someone's disappeared. Ah. Yeah, and it's one of the best things that CD Projekt Red do with their games is they build these narrative developments in the story and what you think. Like, sometimes you could, like, there's a great one in Witcher 3 where you find this old woman in a cottage and she's like, my husband's dead and someone's killed him. And then you're like, oh, well, who's killed it? And then you just find out that she's just a bit like senile and she's suffering with dementia and probably trauma, and Geralt like chooses to just solve it and then move on. And initially you think, oh my gosh, this husband's been taken by a monster or whatever, and actually it's something totally different. And that's I just think they've transferred it so well onto screen. And like you say, this is one of the best scenes. And yeah, I just love it completely. Toss a coin to the Witcher.
Oh, Valley of Plenty.
Yeah, it had a huge impact, didn't it, the Witcher? Or was it Henry Cavill?
Well, I'm sure he's got a huge impact.
I couldn't possibly comment. Go on then, click mine.
Right. I've clicked it, and the, what's it called? The thumbnail is intriguing.
I've been washing dishes in my sleep again! Late for school!
Timmy, go grab your sister.
No, not by that!
No,
there's no time for cereal! Here, we're doing granola bars!
No, no time for granola bars!
Yeah, we'll just have to do breakfast at lunch and move lunch to dinner. Everyone grab a coffee, because dinner's happening at 3 in the morning!
Get your ass up, you lazy son of a... You're changing your own
diaper! No, you can't have milk on Taco Tuesday.
Because it's not Mexican. Now eat your Doritos!
No, I don't have a favorite child. I do have a least favorite, and it's the youngest.
Come on, make me want to be your mom! I'm telling Melissa about
make
the wet dreams!
Give me back my phone before you see my...
I love that Ellen.
She's not a bad
before
lesbian.
You see my...
You're gonna shut up and eat this like it's a...
Which one of you kids...
my casserole?
Samantha, I need you to get
I'm squeezing you on a passenger.
Mom, I need help. I passed out and the kids put me in the dino costume.
And then they put me in the pool.
No, it's the baby this time. He's running away from home and he's taking one of my good casseroles.
All right, crisis averted.
You think you have it bad? My kids are at the age where they're starting to have sex
my good
with
casserole.
Each other. It's not a crime if it's your kid.
Mama got you a kid.
Oh my god, that is so funny.
So that's Brandon Rogers and one of his character's the mom. And I picked this because, well, with a aptly titled video theme this week of art comes to life on screen. So we've got the beautiful art of The Witcher, the lighting, the mood, the setting, the mise-en-scène coming into real play. And then I thought I'd just put this absolute carnage in the mix, because what Brandon's really good at doing is capturing this chaotic storytelling on screen. And he's created this, like, almost Brandon Rogers cinematic universe for himself. So all his characters are intertwined. They've all got backstories now. And they... as soon as he started building a following, he kind of made these like really layered bigger videos that all connect, and there was time travel, and I just think it's so good that we've got something like YouTube and other platforms like that where creators can share the content and for it to be seen around the world by people. I mean, like, I'm in Britain, but he's out in California. And he's got fans all over the globe watching his videos, and he gets consistently high views.
Yeah, he's got 6 million subscribers.
Yeah, it's mad. And I just think this is the power of what screen can do. It can make your art whatever form it takes, whether it's this chaos or whether it's something like The Witcher, like Stranger Things, whatever shows you're into. It's all about people putting their work on a screen and getting it seen by more people than what theatre tends to reach.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, YouTube itself and all kind of, you know, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, it's all becoming like its own art form, really.
TikTok's a great example, isn't it? How much it's taken off, and actual, like, the stuff that people can do on TikTok now. I genuinely don't know how people make some of these videos.
No, neither.
It's so clever, so ingenious, some of the ways that they edit stuff together. But it's using software, isn't it? Using tools and just adapting. I tell you what does stress me out about TikTok, though. The fact that everyone's going into portrait for filming. Because obviously... Yeah. Everything in film, you need to film it in landscape to get the most of the screen, like to fit a cinema screen, to fit a telly screen. You want it in that like 16:9 TV ratio. But everything on TikTok is portrait. Yeah. And oh my gosh, the amount of videos that I've filmed for my drag TikTok, and I've tried to post them, and then I'm like, oh no, I can't use it because it's landscape.
So annoying.
Yeah, it's the natural thing to want to do. So, this brings us on to the final section of today's episode, and that's watching screen. So we've touched on it in the Let's Talk videos. What do we like to watch? What's your favourite thing to watch, Danny?
Oh, well, I do love a period drama, duh.
You do, don't you?
I do love a period drama.
I could see you in Bridgerton.
Could you?
Yeah.
Well, I wish Kelly Valentine Hendry could as well. I love period drama. I'm getting really into telly. I'm really terrible with films. I know it's really bad because I'm an actor. But I am really bad with films. I used to be bad with telly as well, because as a kid, like, it just wasn't in my household. Like, we just didn't really... My mum's, like, loves reality telly, so she'll just stick that on. We never really sat and watched, like, dramas or even comedy. It was all just like...
We're the same in my house.
Yeah, just stick something on that's in the background.
EastEnders,
so.
Coronation Street. And so I can fully get on board with that. I'm still quite bad with TV. Movies, I'm a lot better. But, TV, I didn't watch, what was it? I've still not watched Peaky Blinders properly.
I'm halfway through that now.
But I need to watch that. But I've not watched Bridgerton, to be fair, properly.
Mm.
The Crown, like, I need to watch that. All the big, I'm not saying this, all the things that I've quoted, like Stranger Things, I've not watched that all the way through. I need to, like, properly get into them.
Yeah. It's hard though, because it's a lot of
finding the
commitment
time.
I suppose.
Yeah. I'm better with things that are like 20 minutes, because 40 minutes, like, I'm currently, I'll tell you what I am watching at the minute. I'm rewatching Desperate Housewives. I've not watched it in years, and I realised I can't remember any of the plots, because I'm talking like I was 4 or 5 when I watched it. The only thing that I remember from it, literally, me watching it when I was a little kid, loved it. And, yeah, I just remember Brie, the ginger housewife. I remember, like, I don't know whether I was slightly in love with her or still am in love with her, because I love her just as much this time around. But she's the only thing, and Eva Longoria, they're the only two people that I really remember from it. And now going back, I'm like, Felicity Huffman's in it. Like, she's incredible. And Terry Hatcher, who was in, like, GoldenEye, the James Bond film, which, not GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, I think, because it was Elliot Carver's wife. And I'm like, how did I not know, like, she was in this? And, yeah, watching it back now, I'm loving it. But, you know, 40, 50-minute episodes, it's hard to get through, and I'm falling asleep if I don't by the end of it, you know? Like, and then I don't know what's happening in the plot. Someone's dead, someone's married. Yeah.
Oh, see, if it's a drama, I get really into it.
I can't fall asleep.
There, I'm hooked, yeah.
Yeah, boyfriend's really falling asleep next to you. And you're
literally,
like,
I was just about to say, I'm literally like, excuse me, how have you fallen asleep in this?
Do you get really annoyed? So if I'm watching something, my mom's a classic example. Like, I tried to get her to watch Drag Race with me, and she'll fall asleep watching it. And then, but she'll wake up and my mom will laugh as if something funny's happened. And she'll like, or if I'm laughing and go, ha, she'll wake up going, ha, yeah.
And pretend.
Well, yeah, what's funny? And sometimes I'll laugh just to test out the theory, and she will laugh. And I'm like, what's, she's just said that she's broke a dress and that she can't afford to live, and you're laughing. And she's like, oh, I don't know.
Sorry.
I'm not sleeping, I promise. But yeah, I find it stressful watching things with people, especially if they're like a series. Like, I love Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Do you know when you want to introduce someone to a series that you think's incredible, and then people fall asleep in it, or the talking through it really gets me? I'm like, we are here to watch a film or a series. Stop talking over it. You're missing the best part.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when your heart's invested in it and you're like, I know this is good, I know this is important.
You
need to listen.
You're going to really love it. Or the worst thing is if the first season's a bit meh and you're like, no, you need to stick with this. You need to get through
it. It gets good.
Nah, not for me.
I do think, though, as well, why are there so many things where the first season or the first couple of episodes are naff?
I know.
Is that a thing? Like, why do... Because surely people don't set out to make
things. Well, I suppose it's a really good example is BoJack Horseman. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, cartoons and like adult cartoons. So, like, Rick and Morty, Brickleberry, Paradise PD, and BoJack Horseman's a masterclass in storytelling. But the first season's a bit average. But then they came back with the second season, and the third and fourth in particular are just incredible. And then they just hit the ground running. And I think it's, I suppose it's about the creative team knowing the story that they want to tell and having artistic integrity in what they want to tell, but also taking note of what people do and don't like. Because we're a bit fickle, aren't we, as viewers, in what we want to see and what we don't want to see.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, any final thoughts then before we close out this episode? It's been a great one again.
It has. Final thoughts on screen. I suppose it's just such an interesting medium.
Yeah.
And can sometimes, for actors or viewers, feel a bit either too accessible because you're literally watching it on your couch, or inaccessible because you're like, how do I break into Hollywood? Yeah. And, you know. But actually, there's so much going on now that you can do on your iPhone.
Honestly.
Which is great. But then you can become overwhelmed with all the stuff. So I guess it's like, just find what you like and go with that, really, because there's always going to be more and more and more out there that can, you know, emerge. So just find what you like, shop around a bit, try new things. If you don't like it, don't matter.
That's some words of wisdom from Denis Harris there.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, the thing about the iPhone, though, Lady Gaga filmed her Stupid Love video on an iPhone. Mm. And there's it's obviously it's really great. And what you can do, it was like almost an advert for Apple in what you can do. Mm. And it was so well done. But there's videos of them filming in the desert on this little rig with an iPhone in the middle of it. And I'm like, well, if you can film a music video on it, you can create your ideas with it as well. So yeah. I just think, yeah, the possibilities are limitless. And don't think just because you're not working on the bloody next Marvel film or the next Star Wars or whatever it is that's going to come out next, if you're not on that, don't think that you can't make something, because you can. So true. And on those delightful words of wisdom, again, we're going to say goodbye to you for another week. Can you believe it?
Goodness me.
I can't get over how fast... Like, when we're in these seats, it feels like we literally... time flies by. It's so, so crazy. But join us next week where we continue to talk. But next week, we're talking about our success versus returning to muggle jobs. So it's going to be a really interesting one, how we balance that, what it's like, and our own personal experiences, I guess. Should be a real good one, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Exciting. We'll catch you then. Bye.
Bye.